We come to the reading now from the Bible. If you want to follow in the blue Bible in your pew, it's in the New Testament back section, page 106. Reading from John chapter 12, verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very verily, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears forth much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." And the reading of God's word there at this moment, and our pastor will speak to us.
Let's pray as we begin. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone here, for this opportunity to gather, to worship, to praise you. And Lord, as we stop and we consider just what it means to be this church and look at your word this morning, I pray that you would bless the meditation of my mouth, the things that I have worked on in my heart, that it would touch our lives and move us forward. In Jesus' name, amen. One Sunday morning at a small southern church, the pastor asked one of his deacons to lead in the opening prayer. The deacon stood up, bowed his head, and said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and kind of wondered, "Where is this going?" The deacon continued, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was totally perplexed. The deacon continued, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour. But after you mix them all together and bake them in a hot oven, I just love biscuits." He paused. "Lord, help us to realize when life gets hard, when things come up that we don't like, whenever we don't understand what you are doing, that we need to wait and see what you are making. After you get through mixing and baking, it'll probably be something even better than biscuits. Amen." Today, as we celebrate Olivet's 139th birthday, we can be so grateful as we look back at all the ingredients that God has used and mixed together to do some incredible things here at Olivet. He has taken the challenges and the struggles, like having a building burn years ago, going through several recessions, societal and theological changes, pastors moving on, and mixing all this with all the people that are a part of this place. People that have brought their gifts of teaching, music, giving, caring, outreach, tithing. And the result is a church that for all these years has worked together for God's glory, impacting people's lives. A while ago, someone had suggested that we should change the name of our church from Olivet Baptist Church to Olivet Community Church. But I think that keeping the word Baptist is important. It does help inform people of those things that are important to us as a church. I trust that we truly are a community church. We have many community groups that meet here. Burnaby Family Life, the Family Services of Greater Vancouver, the Food Bank, various addiction programs, and the list goes on and on. And the comments that I hear are that we are viewed as a welcoming community place. So I don't think that needs to be on our sign. Oh, people often wonder, well, why do we have denominations? You know, shouldn't we just all be the same and just throw away all those denominational divisions? Yes, as Christians, we should not be divided. And I'm very grateful that over the years I have seen a major shift in this regard. People from all denominations coming together in unity, realizing their common ground, and worshiping and working together. So why then keep the title Baptist? Just what does that mean that we are part of Canadian Baptists of Western Canada? Well, to understand, let me give you a little bit of church history. People have different ways of relating to God. You see this reflected as you look back over several of the controversies in Christian history. These differences are not the primary cause of many of the splits and starts of denomination, but they indeed had an impact. If you go back to the Middle Ages, in the Roman Catholic Church, what was important was the sacraments. Everything centered around the mystery of sacramental rites. So what you will notice when you walk into one of these churches is a very ornate altar. When Luther theologically broke away from Rome, worship changed. He stressed the importance of Scripture and having it available for everyone. So he elevated the pulpit to show the importance of preaching the Word. And if you go then into a Reformation church, you will see a majestic-looking pulpit, not an ornate altar. There were these two styles of worship, one emphasizing faith involving all the senses and exalting the mystery of the gospel, and the other emphasizing intellectual discourse in knowing, understanding, and explaining the existence of God. As time went on, there are other different ways of loving God that were emphasized, some separating from society. And you have the beginning of monasticism. One night when I was away, I watched a real old movie called Brother, Son, Sister, Moon. I don't know if any of you have seen it, on the life of St. Francis of Assisi. It was so interesting to watch his journey of faith and to see his desire to love God, that in doing so, he then left his family to go live a life of poverty. But there are others who express their love for God by entering into and transforming society. Neither of these should be seen as right or wrong, but rather different, each having a unique purpose. Then you have the Anabaptists, of which we are derived. They sought to express their love of God by stressing the inner reality of the gospel. They attempted to create a model society that would witness then to the unbelieving world by inviting them to come out of the secular society and then join the community of faith. Also arriving on the scene then we had was John Wesley, and he was originally an Anglican. But he was greatly impacted as he witnessed the faith of a group of people called the Moravians. And as a result, he started the Methodist Church, trading in a faith that was based on creeds and discipline for an inner faith, preaching the necessity of relating to God through an inward transformation. And then in the early part of the 20th century, we had the Azusa Street Revival, where Pentecostal practices were brought back into common church life. Singing choruses, clapping, spiritual gifts, a focus on them, came out of this. Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Anabaptists, Methodists, Pentecostals are all trying to love God, but with a unique expression of that love and emphasizing a theological aspect that they see as central. Gary Thomas notes, God has given us different personalities and temperaments. It's only natural that these differences should be reflected in our worship. Next week, I hope to unpack this more, looking at how that then pertains to our personal spiritual growth. Unfortunately, sometimes instead of learning from other Christians and realizing these differences, many times we have judged one another, and walls have been built up. When all of it began in 1878, there were just a few other churches in New Westminster. The first church building here in New West was a Methodist church. And in a history of Olivet that was compiled by Don Anderson and Elsie Holmes and Muriel Crump, called Committed to Continuing, they noted this. Olivet shares God's attention and blessing with other congregations in New Westminster. But because she was persuaded she had a unique mission as a Baptist congregation, she stubbornly sought to honor God as she lived through difficult times. So just what does this mean to be Baptist? As you come into our sanctuary and look at the front of the church, what does it tell you that is important to us? Notice what is central. the communion table. And behind it, we have the baptismal tank. We hold these two sacraments as important. On a regular basis, we celebrate communion, remembering the saving death and resurrection of Jesus. This is to be a constant reminder that this is the basis of our faith. Baptism is a public declaration of our faith in Christ. It marks the entry into the church community. We don't baptize infants, but rather baptize those who have made a conscious and committed decision to follow Christ. We do this by full immersion, going down into the water and then coming back up, identifying with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. You'll notice the Bible up there, and the Bible is often on the communion table, and the pulpit here. We hold fast to the Word of God, preaching through God's Word faithfully, encouraging one another to grow in our knowledge of faith. Worship music. Poor Peter all alone today because people are away, but did a great job. That is important as we praise and extol God for who he is and what he has done. As Baptists, we share a common faith with all Christians. Yet there are a few things that do set us apart from other denominations. These are the things noted, like baptism. But also of consideration is what we refer to as the priesthood of all believers. That being loved by God and made in his image, each of us has the opportunity to meet directly and personally with God. Since we are all equal before him, we have the right and the responsibility to participate in Christ's body, the church, and to minister to one another as the priesthood of all believers. And this then also impacts our congregational form of government. That it is under the lordship of Christ, the authority of the Bible, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that together we seek to determine God's will for us. I really appreciate the diversity here at Olivet. We do have some different theological opinions. We have some different preferred ways of worship. We each come with different passions on which we would like to focus. There's different ethnicities and ages and backgrounds. All this diversity, it can make it challenging at times. But thankfully, I see a lot of respect here. Honoring the diversity, having a willingness to work together, and understanding that we are indeed all unique. And we have a unique role and place here in the Royal City. So what does all this mean then as we look to another year as Olivet Baptist? I think we need to keep up the good work, loving one another and extending grace. And above all, proclaim Jesus to people, lifting him up, coming to faith in him. One of Olivet's past pastors was Arthur Hadley. And in the first sermon that he preached here in 1957, he used the text that I chose for this morning, the verse John 12:21, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Arthur at that time shared with the congregation how the night before he was ordained, and that was, you know, years earlier in Regina, his father had placed a card with these words, "Sir, we would see Jesus," on the pulpit. Well, shortly after Art preached his first sermon here at Olivet, a brass plaque with those words, "Sir, we would see Jesus," appeared on the pulpit. And it is still here. It's kind of hard to read right now. It would be probably good to have this redone. "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's what it's all about, to see Jesus. In the passage in John, it says the Greeks came asking this. And Greeks does not necessarily mean someone from Greece, but rather it was a label for anyone who was not Jewish. They want to see Jesus. And there's a dual meaning to this. They want to have an opportunity to meet with Jesus and to ask questions. But there's also a sense of it meaning more. In John's Gospel, the words for "want to see" signify "want to believe." They are wanting to believe. These people are now coming wanting to be Christ's followers. And it's at this moment that Jesus responds, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The coming of the Greeks signaled a shift for Jesus. Up until that time, the hour had always been in the future. The hour is the appointed time for Jesus' death, resurrection, and exaltation. Jesus' ministry in Judaism is finished, and he now belongs to the wider world. He came to bring life and freedom to all people. So Jesus goes on to say in verse 24, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." He mentions that just as a seed must die in order to give life, so he must die in order to give life to the world. Jesus is speaking about his death. But there is a message here for us too, that we are to relinquish those things that we hold on to. There's some things that we have to let go of, things that must die in us. And it's as we release these things, it'll then open a way for love and fruitfulness. Jean Vanier has written a commentary on the Gospel of John, and I plan on embarking on a study of John in the new year, and I hope to use this book. And in looking at chapter 12, Vanier tells this story. He says, "There was a young man who wanted to win the Special Olympics, the Olympic Games for people with disabilities. He prepared himself, determined to win the gold medal. The moment of the final race arrived. He ran all out, longing to win. On the next lane ran another, who also hoped to win the gold medal, and who suddenly tripped and fell. The first young man, seeing his neighbor fall, stopped running, offered his competitor his hand, and helped him up. The two runners came in last, hand in hand. The first man had accepted to lose the medal, but to win unity and love." What may be God calling each of us to give up in order to serve one another? Do we need to give up the desire to be the best, to win, to fulfill our own selfish ambitions? All that we do here at church is to exalt Christ, that we would see Jesus. Our focus for the year is on head, heart, and hands, seeing the need to be balanced in all that we do as we present Christ. It's not just knowledge. It involves our emotions, our actions. And to make all this kind of tangible this morning, I want to mention to you a few things coming up in order to see where you might be being called to be involved, so we as a church can continue to thrive as Olivet Baptist. There are a lot of hand opportunities, those ways of reaching out to others coming up. As Marianne said, and we looked at, you know, VBS is in 2 weeks. 88 kids have signed up. To make that happen, we need a lot of people. So you'll see that flyer. Well, look and see if there's a way that you could come and help. On September 10th, as Marion mentioned, we'll have that annual street party, what we call the big gig. Well, we need some more people to help finish organizing this event, and then a lot of helpers for that day. And it is a great way to get out and connect with those in our neighborhood. I plan to do another Alpha series beginning the first week of October. To facilitate this, well, I need table hosts, people to help with meals, clean up, prayer support. And for you to invite others, this is an amazing outreach opportunity. It's kind of a no-pressure situation for people to come and explore just who Jesus is. A few weeks ago, you heard from James Grunau from Journey Home. There's a meal in one of the houses next door every Tuesday evening, where you can come and just sit and you can connect with the refugees that are there. The IJM fundraiser is coming up. It's almost sold out, so if you want to come, you need to get a ticket. The food bank that runs here now on Thursdays, well, they could use some more volunteers. There are many more ways that you can get involved with hands. That's just a few of them. Then as we consider heart, I think what is most vital is prayer. Don Anderson writes just an amazing prayer letter. Well, maybe you need to renew your commitment to faithfully pray over that letter. Or sign up if you don't already receive it. Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., there's people that meet back in the chapel to pray for the morning service. Consider incoming that short time. We have a Monday night prayer meeting. It meets just for an hour. It's been really special times together. But I've wondered if the time of this should change so it fits better with other people's schedules. So if you are interested in another prayer opportunity and can suggest another time, other than way early in the morning, let me know. I'll pray at midnight, just not 5 a.m. And then another thing I want to institute is prayer at the end of the service on the last Sunday of the month. You are always welcome and encouraged to ask for prayer following any of the worship services. But this will be an intentional opportunity to receive prayer once a month. We're also growing in our care ministry with the Stephen Ministry Program. And if you're interested in training, that's going to begin in January. Sigrid and Barbara are the ones to connect with if you're interested. Small groups are going to be starting up again. Getting involved in a group is a wonderful way to get to know people, to support others, and to grow spiritually. So how about joining a group, hosting a group, leading a group? And there's lots of other ways to be involved. And maybe God has laid on your heart a passion for something that we are not yet doing. I recently have been chatting with someone who's interested in having some dinners, kind of like guess who's coming to dinner in your home for people to connect. Well, let us know what's on your heart so we can work together to bring these things about. As I said in the beginning, church is not a building, but a group of people. We are the church. What happens here is by God's mercy and grace, mixing all the ingredients, the flour, the lard, the buttermilk, the people, together for a meal to see Jesus, the one who is the bread of life. Sir, we would see Jesus. That is what we are about, to come and believe and follow him, receiving his love and reaching out to others. Here at Olivet, we have a church covenant, and there's a copy of it here on the wall. We don't have pledges or codes that you have to sign, but this covenant gives us a framework of that for which we strive to do and be together as a local church. As we this morning celebrate another year, I would like us to read this covenant. If you're visiting, don't feel like you have to read along with us. But I would ask if now you would stand and we would read this together. Having been led by the Spirit to profess our faith in Jesus Christ, and having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do now solemnly and joyfully affirm our covenant with God and with each other. We affirm our mission is to glorify God as a people united in love and committed to continuing the ministry of Christ our Lord on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pledge to serve Christ in the community of this church by discovering our gifts and talents, by becoming equipped to serve, and by developing a servant's heart. We will act in love toward one another, refusing to gossip about one another, remembering one another in prayer, sharing each other's joys, and sustaining each other in times of distress. We aspire to be a community of the concerned, where the lost may find Jesus Christ, sinners may find pardon, seekers may find meaning for their lives, and where all who come may find welcome. We shall strive to be responsible church members through faithful attendance, by growing spiritually, and by godly living, giving regularly to the ministries of the church, participating in the ordinances of believers' baptism and Holy Communion, and following the leaders we ourselves have chosen. We will share the responsibility of this church by praying for its growth, by inviting others to attend, and by warmly welcoming those who visit. We shall seek to be obedient to Christ in our daily living, within our homes, in our work, and while at leisure. We shall strive for attitudes and actions which will reflect God's Spirit working through us, believing that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We shall seek to avoid experiences and habits which defile the body and hinder our witness. Bound together in the broader community of faith with all who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we shall work and pray for a spirit of unity among all Christians. Believing that our call to be a church is a call to witness in the world, we dedicate ourselves anew as servants of the Lord of all life. Whenever people are in bondage to ignorance, poverty, fear, or prejudice, we shall strive for justice, freedom, dignity, and peace. Whenever people are separated by barriers of hostility and distrust, we shall be ministers of God's reconciling love, as we pledge our support to the work of our missionaries throughout the world. We commit ourselves to the mission to which God calls us all. Acknowledging our human frailties and ever seeking forgiveness, we profess our need of the Holy Spirit and commit our lives to Jesus Christ, and through him to the care, the judgment, the deliverance, and the mercy of Almighty God. Amen. May our hearts be ever faithful, living to serve our Lord and Savior for the glory of his name.